If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is about foundations this morning. He wants us to be ready, to have the foundation for his move, like our brother said, with the foundations. Jesus, in what part of our lives? Every part. But Jesus is about relationships. Foundations of our society, our family, how we relate, inner healing, all of that. The Lord's given me something specific in a couple weeks' time, and then he just kind of downloaded the last of it this morning, yesterday morning, I think. In Malachi, the last chapter, it talks about in the last days that the Lord will, it's kind of like the last thing he's going to do. Isn't that right? The last chapter of Malachi, where he will return the hearts of the children to their fathers and hearts of the fathers to their children in the last days, in the great and glorious day of the Lord, which in which we live. Right? So, I feel what the Lord is telling me is that there's a very specific, practical way that he wants to do this. And I don't want to say this because I know this is God, and I want our hearts to receive it. Lord, please make our hearts ready to receive what you have, your battle plan for us, Father. The Lord himself. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have you ever noticed? Like Pastor Sue has shown us, the Holy Spirit has a lot of female references. In Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, hovered over the waters. That word for hovered is the word for birthed. The Holy Spirit birthed the world. Intercession is seen as a birthing process. That's something that the Lord directly does through us. The Holy Spirit is seen as that midwife in the Scripture. Wisdom is pictured as a woman in Scripture, right? And Proverbs 8. The Lord showed me that the Trinity is a picture of the family. The Father, the Holy Spirit, is a picture of the Mother and the Son. And how is he going to manifest fully in a body, right? In his family, in the church. The foundation of the church is the family. Is that right? So he's after our family relationships. And we know this already. He wants to heal us, bring inner healing. A lot of that inner healing is caused by pain and hurt that has come through our fathers, our mothers, our families. And so we perpetuate that in our own families as adults. So we need healing so that we don't continue to wound the next generation, etc. We know this. But the Lord has given me practical sense. This is the way he wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And we don't want to put God in a box, but let's look at the Scripture. This is the way he has. He is inviting us to his table. His family meal table. He has the family meal table in mind. That's why he's got to, one of the reasons he's got to work with the wife first. Because the wife is a, that mother's the keeper of the home, not just the house, the home, the peace in the home, the unity in the home, the harmony in the home. She's the one, she has been designed physically to nourish the children. So generally, I mean, we're not going to say that men can't cook, you know, we're not going there to that crazy extreme, but we're saying generally the mother, the wife, is going to bring that food to the table. And what have we seen before? We have seen that the physical is a representation of the spiritual. God has ordained the family meal table. He is going to be inviting us to His table. When Jesus came the second time to the disciples, what did He do? He prepared some food for them on the beach. He had an eating time with them. So what is a practical plan that God has in mind for the last days to prepare the next generation? It's at your dinner table. It's there. That's when all of the garbage is going to come out, too, of how you relate. So He has inner healing in mind. But this is such a simple, practical thing. But it is what He's after. Notice in Acts. In Acts, the beginning, where we've been told that we're in Acts chapter 1 and 2, well, we're in preparation. But I guess then after that, they were eating together their meals, praising God. And I wonder what they were doing there. They weren't just stuffing their faces. They were eating spiritually as well.
Right.
They were eating spiritually. That's the time. When did God come to Adam and Eve? In the cool of the day. He shared with them kind of at the end of the day, kind of when we have our dinner time, our together time. We all come together and we have this time of sharing physically in this meal. We share our food. We share what God's been doing. We share our food. And that's how the next generation is going to participate in this move. Because do you know, what if we all did this? What if we actually had a family meal table? I mean, like we all ate at the same time with our children, okay? But at that time, there was a 5-minute, 10-minute discussion about spiritual things, about spiritual food. We were nourished spiritually at that time. And then we have automatic prayer meetings every day because guess what? We have to eat every day. So we have automatic instruction, training up our children in righteousness, and we have prayer meetings, and that prayer from the children, it changes the world. Oh, God. And I feel like, oh, I don't want to be the one to bring this, because I've said all of this stuff before, actually. This part isn't really new, what I'm saying. But I'm calling out to the fathers today to take up your leadership in this area. Take it up! Don't be afraid! When the children don't behave and they don't listen, have your joy bubble. It's a training process. You might not open the heavens in the first week. You know? You might not blast the gates of hell open, you know, and bring down strongholds. But a consistent, faithful, habit. A godly habit. Not a pharisaical, legalistic.
We gotta do this every day. Whether we like it or not, and we're gonna do it if it kills us, and we're gonna suffer for Jesus as we open the Word and deal with our children as they're,
you know, misbehaving or not listening or whatever. No, they will learn, and this is what God has taught me too, is that He will teach us as we are faithful. We got to step out. I said this yesterday. Maybe it was today. I don't know. Got to step out into the Jordan River at flood tide. You know, Moses, he lifted the staff. And he got to see the waters part, and they got to walk through the Red Sea. Next step was Joshua. Didn't get to do that. They had those priests. said, step in first, and you know what that Jordan River was? That was the first step was down, baby, into the water. It was, there was no parting, first of all, when they were going to come into the promised land in the book of Joshua. There was an extra level of faith that they had to participate in. They had to step in faith when they didn't see things, when they didn't have it all together. Now, we have men who are good at hearing the Lord and following what He says to do. When He shows them how to do it, okay, show me how to do it, I'll do this. But He's not going to show us how to do it until we do it. That's what He said. You will learn by doing. You will learn by taking a step of obedience. You will learn because you come back the next day when it didn't work the first day. When they didn't like the food and there was complaining and the Lord's Spirit wasn't able to be there because of the complaining at the dinner table. So, to take the first step and the next step and follow the Lord and be consistent and watch the Lord move! Watch Him! If this witness is with your spirit, then don't leave it. It is not a one-time, one-week process. This is a process of daily, a lifestyle. We have individually gone before the Lord. We have individually spent time with Him. He is pleased with that, but He is not satisfied. He is not done. He must have us spend time together as a family to represent His Trinity, His Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Trinity. This is a picture of God. Your family and its relationship and how they feed on the Word together, feed on their food together, is a picture of God. And then, as we come together as a church, oh, the power that God will release. Because we will be in right relationships, God will heal us, God will show us what to do, He will give us wisdom, He will open the doors because there will be a prayer base. This is how He wants to bring the prayer base. This is how! Through our family prayer time. Maybe He'll also have us have prayer meetings eventually. But this will be the foundation. This is the foundation right here. And a word to the women starts with you. Because that's the way the Lord wants to move, to give the foundation. Who's going to make the food? You have food issues. You have, I don't know, whatever issues you have surrounding the family meal table. It's torture. Well, of course it is, because it's attacked by the enemy. He is powerful. It is His weapon for the foundations to be set for the end times. Does this sound right to you? Is this too easy? Is it too?
It's exactly right.
Oh!
Yeah. It hits the spiritual spot.
Yeah! It gives satisfaction like food does, doesn't it? It's not like there's all this enjoyment. Oh, let's go do this. Now we know the plan. This will be fun. We get to cook all the time. And we get to do our dishes, and we get to deal with all of our...
If you're doing it anyway, you might as well do it right.
True! Hallelujah! The women, there may be some who say, well, my husband doesn't do it right. I know how to do it better. You might. Doesn't mean you should. It means you should be on your knees. Praying.
Amen.
Doing good for him all the days of his life so that he can walk into what God has for him and not take it away, take that opportunity away from him. Because the Lord wants to use the bride, remember? I spoke about this more than a year ago. The Lord wants to use the bride, not use, partner with the bride. Through the bride, the Father wants to bring healing to His Son's heart.
Right.
And that's the way he does it in the physical, man, woman, through the bride, through the woman. He brings inner healing a lot of times to the man, to the husband. And then husband is raised up to do the same thing with the wife. There's inner healing that happens in your relationship. And if there's a religious spirit on her husband, and a bullying spirit,
we got to do this, and we're going to do it, and you're all going to listen, and you're all going to like it too, and if you don't, I'll beat you, you know. I mean, if there's that kind of attitude, which there may be, though the enemy doesn't want this, he's not going to just sit back and say, well, I guess they figured out the secret weapon, I'm not going to do anything. No, he's going to say, well, let's just show them how fun it can be, and let's just attack this and make it unbearable so they stop. No matter what, we can't stop. We can't. We cannot give over the generation of children. And we cannot give over what God wants to do in this.
Right.
We need to pray as women.
Amen.
We need to ask God how to approach our husbands. If that is the case, that we need to do. We need to pray. We need to focus. We need to focus on this. We need to not forget. Go home. Oh, wasn't that a nice little talk? We need go before the Lord and ask Him to change us, because this will not be because we're so holy and we're so on fire for God and we're so on target. If this happens in a corporate way, like if several of the families, if not all of us, start having a family meal time where we instruct our children in righteousness, and share spiritually one with another. If that, it will be because it is a move of God, because God is doing the work, and not because we are so good, wise, and none of that. We will sit back and we will say, whoa, look what God did. There was no way I could do this. He might be after what you eat. He might be after how you eat. He might be after when you eat. He might be after all of these and who you eat with.
Exactly.
Maybe you're single and you're going to have to ask God, how do I participate in the family meal table? God, do I have a time with you just alone? Maybe. Maybe you meet together with other people. Maybe God will put you in a different family meal table every night. I don't know. He says, God says in His Word, I put the lonely in families.
Right.
You know where that is? I put the lonely in families, not in singles groups. Not in singles groups. Yeah, it is written. There you go. Not in a group of everyone like me, but in a group of people who are not like me, like a family. A father is not like a mother, is not like the children, and the children are all at different ages. Unity and diversity right here. How? So, we have to ask, God, what does this family meal table look like to me? And for the families who have like an automatic, huge production every night. Okay, God, who do you want in this family meal table tonight? Or tomorrow? Or the next day? Tomorrow, the next week. This probably will, if it's not on the heart of any of the men, right now, I think he's bringing that to the men's heart. But this, I could see where this comes to the woman. I mean, he has made her to nourish the babies physically. I mean, it's like the way he's made the woman. So, you know, we'll just need to pray and ask the Lord and to protect that time so that it will not be some religious rite that we practice, but a living, breathing relationship with God that is shared so that it multiplies It will multiply as we are sharing the spiritual food with each other. What's God doing in your life? Oh, I know God's. I know Dad's going to ask me about what is going on. Maybe I should think about that in my day. What is God doing in my life?
Amen.
He keeps asking me every night. I don't know what to say. Maybe I'll think about that. Maybe I will become more alert to what God is doing in my life.
Amen.
Because this is a normal part of my day now. This is a normal part of my life. I'm going to be sharing about Jesus. This is going to be normal to talk about God. I do this with my family every day. You talk with God about some people and they're just like, oh, fear, weirdness, like, that's weird, it's so abnormal. No, this is going to become food, like normal, everyday life. You just talk about God all the time. In fact, it's the highlight of our day. We work towards it, we come, and we're ready to share, to minister. I'm not talking about some hour sermon every night. I mean 5 minutes. In some families, there's little children. How long can your children, who are 2 and 3, actually focus? Less than 30 seconds? I mean, you know, so we stretch their attention span to a whole 5 minutes. Okay, so that's it.
I'm here to say that what Tana just talked about put together what Patty and I have been doing in the physical for a while, but I have a public confession to make. I wanted our family mealtime in a religious spirit. I was the guy who would say, "We're going to do this and you're going to like it." I can tell you from personal experience, that does not work. Now, over the last many months, Patty's been transformed by God through just having made a choice a few times in a row to be with God. And our family mealtime is becoming something we look forward to, something we have a habit of. And Tana, thank God, just put something together so now we can fill in some of the blanks we've had, because lately it's just been about food and fellowship. Well, what about learning about God too? I believe that Tana just nailed it. She's identified one of the sources of the corporate body's power. If we just get with him and recognize, as she said, that everything in the physical pictures what God tells us in his word.
Deuteronomy 6:6, are you there? Deuteronomy, you know, it's like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 6. You there? And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And he goes on to say, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. It's talking about being consumed. It's like, what are we living for? And you know, the foundations, what we need to have is foundations in our life. What is our life based on? What is our life based on? And she's talking about, she's going back to the family unit. Do you know that family was around before church was around? And that's the Old Testament. Go over to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. That's what you were alluding to. I just didn't interrupt you with it. Acts 2:42. Okay, go back. In verse 41, which is one of my favorite verses about dealing with people about salvation, it says, then they gladly received his word as he preached on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them. Who were they added unto? Verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the leadership's teaching, and in fellowship. What is fellowship? Gathered together, hanging out. Did we fellowship yesterday? Where's that? Did we fellowship the other day? Did we fellowship the other day? That's what we're supposed to do, is hang out. You'll find that also over in Malachi 3:16, where it says, as they hung out together, God took note of that and kept a record. You'll find that in Malachi 3:16. But here we are, Acts 2:42. They had just got saved, and what'd they do? They continued steadfastly. Do you have an idea what the word steadfast means? Do you have an idea, Ray, what the word steadfast means? Strongly. How about to stick to it? Okay? To keep doing it. It's not like haphazardly or when it works out or making it convenient. But it's being steadfast about it. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't just listen. They took it and they said, you know, I'm going to live by this. This is my life. That's what she's talking about. Moms and dads sharing with their kids. Jackson, since he was probably about 2 or 3 years old, one day God gave me, because I didn't raise my kids saying I only want Jesus to live in me. But one day when he was about 2 or 3 years old, and we were dealing with him about attitudes or spirits, and I was talking to him about that, and God said, how do you talk to a 2 or 3 year old? And God made it real clear and just gave me this little cookie that I could put down on the bottom shelf and said, here, Jackson, do we want to have all that bad feeling inside of us? No. Are you happy? No. You know how they get those looks on their face? Mom just got through dealing with them. And they got those looks on their face. Are you happy? No. Maybe he's doing a timeout. You know, stick a lip out there so you can build a bridge on it. You know, you happy? No. I said, well, guess what? I said, when you're thinking about Jesus and Jesus is living in you, you don't feel like that, do you? No. I said, well, then we only want Jesus to live in us, don't we? Yeah. But I didn't just tell him that one time and he got it. I had to tell him over and over and over and keep reminding him as the situations happened. And then his mom started doing that. And his dad started doing that. And you know what? They say it all the time, and it changes their attitude just like that. Boom, just like that. But it was, wrote a song about it. How's it go? I don't know it.
Want no bad devil's
going to
kick them out.
Want no bad devil's going to kick them out. That's what Sahara will say when it's time to go to bed and we go to pray. She'll go, Jesus, I don't want no bad devils. I'm going to kick them out. I only want you living in me. And then they have nightmares or bad dreams or whatever. And then we immediately pray with them. And they just say, I only want Jesus living in me. And they've made that choice because it's right over there. That truth is in James 4:7-8. They may not know that verse yet. But that truth we help to instill in them by taking the time and repeating it over and over. Talking to them about it. In their everyday life. That's what that Deuteronomy 6 is talking about. When they're walking, when they're sleeping, laying down, when you're eating with them, like Tan is talking about. Us spending time together. It's not doing, Tom, you think you confess. Dude, When I had my kids growing up, I was Mr. Legalism to the max, man, and I would have them. And I was the one, I would make my kids, you know, we're going to read, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I mean, because it was working for me, but I didn't know how to get it into them, so I just tried to beat it into them, you know. And that's not the way to do it. It's like you live it into them. You live it into them. You live it into them. And you got to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so they can get a hold of it. Okay? What? You know, as I've gotten this better, where God's broken the religious spirit out of me and the harshness and the rudeness, to whatever degree He's been able to get victory so far, I've said, man, I've gone back to all my kids and asked them to forgive me so many times that they have said, Dad, we forgive you. It's okay. You know, but it's like I see so much now that I wish I could have seen when they were there. And now it's like I could pray for them that God would open their eyes. I could pray for them that God would do this in them and they would understand about relationship first with God. And then out of that, their own relationship with God. And then out of that, it's going to flow to other people. And when it's not flowing good with other people, we need to keep going back to God to ask Him to fix what's inside of us. Ask Him to heal us. He's your daddy. He's not mad and disappointed at you. He may be grieved. His heart is broken. We hurt Him. But He doesn't get mad and disappointed. I hear people when I'm talking to them, well, I'm doing this because God would be mad at me. God's not going to be mad at you. To be mad at somebody, you have to have expectation. God doesn't expect stuff out of us. He desires a relationship. But He doesn't expect it.
That's right.
Because we're dumb sheep. And all the people in the world, most of them don't have relationship with God. God is not in all their thoughts. Do you understand? Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They hung out with the apostles. They listened to them. They learned from them. They lived it. And in breaking of bread, what does that sound like? Tanner was just talking about it. Eating together. You know, can't be a pot luck because God don't have nothing to do with luck. So it must be a favored pot, right? We all got together and ate together. Isn't that fun when we do that, Ray? Like when we had Thanksgiving or Christmas and you cooked the turkey, you know, and I was so glad I wasn't close because you had to cook me. But it was neat, you know, that we had the food and we all eat together. I love doing that. And then when we're together, what are we going to talk about? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And something I'm doing, just that God encouraged me the other day because of my own kids and going, Lord, and my kids love the Lord. They all go to church and whatever, you know, and most of them are serving in some capacity in a church somewhere. But the other day I was like loving on the grandkids, and the grandkids all come and hug me, and Janiah said something, or God said it somehow. Anyway, it was like you were wishing you could redo this with your kids. Well, you're doing it with your grandkids, your kids' kids, and the ones that are open and the ones that you can sow into. It says, it went on to say in that verse, and in prayers. They continued in their teaching. They continued in fellowship. They continued in breaking bread. And they continued in prayers. Different ones of you invite others here over for dinner. That's really cool. I love seeing that. Because I love seeing people get together and developing relationships. Because we need one another. You ever heard the saying, I got your back? Well, folks, there's a whole lot going on out there that we need people keeping our back.
Amen.
And there's more, and it's going to get worse.
That's right.
Because the enemy is going strong. Jesus is raising up an army. We're his army. And he's wanting to make us strong. But we've got to have foundations. This is what she's talked about. As simple as eating. Not separating. Not just doing, you know, fast food. But taking time. Do you know what the first meal of the day is called? Did you hear what she said? It's not breakfast. It's break fast. It's stopping a fast to now eat. And you do it as a family. That's what we should do. It's a time to get together. It's a time to care and share. It's a time to listen. And it, and the word in Tana says they put the solid, he puts the solitary in families. It's in Psalms. I don't remember exactly. I think that's where it's in Psalms. Do you know what's so neat? Is Jesus. You know, all these words, I just love it. What's so neat is watching Jesus being developed in you. This is like the neatest church. This is our seventh church, but this is the neatest one we've ever done. Because I'm watching people begin to grow up. I'm watching people begin to listen, take it, and be able to move forward where they can reach out to somebody else and say, let me help give you what I've got. Yeah. Every other church we had, it seemed like that for the most part, we couldn't seem to get people to do that. It was like we were constantly having to mother and father them. And they weren't ever growing up enough where they would help anybody else. But where you really grow is when you start helping other people. And I don't care how babyish, you know what I mean, how young you are in the Lord, you can start by reaching out and helping somebody, giving them what you've got. Telling them what you know. Let me tell you how simple it is. Giving somebody a hug. Giving somebody a hug. Because the devil don't hug nobody. Because he don't like you. I'm so glad you're here. And I'm so glad you keep coming. And our whole thing is to get you to Jesus. And if you come here, we'll probably never have, what are those things called at churches? A bulletin. Because you'll never know what it's going to be like. I don't even know what it's going to be like. Because for some reason, God thinks I mean it when I tell him, you can do whatever you want today. And he says, really? Well, I'm going to color outside your lines, Harv. Go ahead. I had no idea what was going to happen today, but I enjoyed it. Did God touch you? Did you meet with God?
Yes.
That's what the whole thing is about, is meeting with God. If God don't show up, we might as well
go bowling.
It's not about coming here and doing our little two-step, you know. Stand, sit, kneel, sing. Listen, we go home and we look at everybody and smile and go, I love you, and it doesn't mean anything. It's getting into the presence of God. It's experiencing Jesus. That's what we want to do. And we want to help you get closer and get stronger so that your life's not like this. And so that you're not depending on us. We want to help teach you how to get to Jesus yourself and hang out with him. So it doesn't just happen on Sundays. It may just happen more as you're coming here in the beginning. But as time goes on, you're going to learn how to live in his presence. Hang out with him. Is that right?
That's right.
I love you. Has anybody got anything to say? I won't doubt it.
I just want to humble ourselves a little bit and bring us back down to that childhood and say, sing this song. We all know this song. This little light of mine.
I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Don't let
Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine till Jesus comes.
Oh, see, how's it go? How's that? Till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Now there's a purpose for singing that song. Now when you go out in the world this week, let your light shine.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. On that note?
Yes.
Okay.
I wake up every morning and say, Lord Jesus, please let people see you through me today.
Amen. Amen. Did you hear that? She said, say it again.
Dear Jesus, please let people see you through me today.
Amen. That's what they need, is they need to see Jesus, right?
That's right.
Anything else?
I also tell Jesus that if he doesn't want it for me, don't let it happen.
Amen. If he doesn't want it for me, don't let it happen.
There you go.
It says that he has the keys, he opens and no man shuts, he shuts and no man opens. So Jesus, if it's not good for me, even if it's what I want, I don't want to want it. So make it not happen, okay? What you got to say, Hot Dog?
I want to tell everybody that I have this picture with Jesus and dying on the cross and all these other little people coming closer and this man crying for Jesus because he died for him. And the hill is right there and he's dying on the cross right here and there. The blood, it's shining all over the other people on the hill.
You know what's neat, Jesus, is you. You are incredible, and I just thank you. Shut up, why? I thank you that you sought us out. I thank you that you made a way possible for us to be right with you, to be right with our Creator, a way that we can have you living inside of us. I don't ever want to take that for granted. You are incredible, Jesus. You are my life. You are my focus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, my desire is that you would bless each one here, each family, home represented, that you would draw the families together, that, Lord, the things they heard today that Tana was talking about, foundations, just eating together and talking about you. It doesn't have to be something necessarily where they pull out the Bible, but maybe it's talking about what they got out of the Bible that day or what's going on in their lives. Maybe like, you know, when they have little bitty kids and, you know, they didn't read their Bible that day. But we're just talking about you and talking about you in our everyday life. It's, don't have to put a time limit. We just want you to flow in our lives. Teach us how to do that, but help us to be aware that we need to do that. And that, Lord, we would keep asking you to work that into our lives. And I just asking that you would minister, keep safe each one here. I'm asking you, Father, to just protect them. I'm wanting to put protection over them and asking you to keep them safe. Help us, Lord, to develop relationship, not just with you primarily, but with each one. That you would draw us together, make us a body, knit together. And we just say thank you. Help us to be aware of each other's needs, to love one another. Let you flow. We say, thank you, Jesus. You're incredible. Amen.